Chapter 9. Dawn had always been the time that Skipper of Otters loved best, rising silently at the first song of larks on the western flatlands beyond the abbey. He would pad gently out of the dormitory for his morning exercise. This usually took the form of a good brisk swim in the abbey pond, after which he ran several times around the outer wall tops. Then he practised with javelin, club and sling. The big sturdy otter was not a beast to let fat grow about his middle. With his appetite sharpened, Skipper slipped quietly into the kitchens. Friar Gooch, the squirrel cook, and his assistant, the mole-maid Furrel, were preparing breakfast. Knowing Skipper was not a great talker first thing in the morning, they left the tray out for him. With a nod of thanks, he took his food, warm oat scones, a small bowl of shrimp and hot root soup, a special favourite with otters, and a large beaker of mint and pennycress cordial. Wordlessly he left, and went to seek some place quiet, where he could eat and meditate before joining the bustle of Redwall's daily life. Skipper dearly loved the abbey, having lived on and off there through his young seasons, often leaving to live for a time with boisterous river otters and wild sea otters, but he always returned to Redwall, where he could trace his forebears right back to the famous otter warrior, the one they had called Tagarung. Abbot Apodemus had tried to press on to Skipper the honour of being Redwall's warrior, though he refused on the grounds that he never felt himself to be the chosen one. Skipper did, however, take on the role of master-at-arms to the abbey, training others in weaponry and war skills, though there had never been the need for anything like that in living memory. Redwall's seasons of peace and plenty stretched back many, many seasons, but the big otter had chosen to stay in case he was ever needed. Great Hall was an island of serenity when it was not being used for feasting. Rising sunlight cast soft strips of multicoloured light from the stained glass windows onto the smooth, worn stone floor. Skipper took his tray and settled down with his back against the base of a sandstone column. From there he could view the ancient tapestry depicting Martin the Warrior, the abbey's first champion. Foxes, rats, stoats, weasels, and all manner of vermin could be seen fleeing from the armoured mouse who formed the centre of the picture. Martin had a face any beast could trust, strong, smiling kindly, yet with raw danger shining in his resolute eyes, which warned any evildoer to beware. He leaned upon a sword. Over the tapestry, on two silver spikes, the real one rested. Such a blade! It had a red pommel stone and a black-bound handle with a cross hilt. Like any warrior's weapon, it was proficient, plain and simple. But the blade, double-edged, shining steel, had a point like an ice needle. Legend said that it had been forged by a badger lord in the fires of Salamandastron from the metal of a fallen star. With such a sword in his grasp, a warrior could face any odds. Eating in leisurely fashion, Skipper continued staring at Martin and the blade, which rested above the skillfully woven tapestry.